B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, I think we're sufficiently warmed up. Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm your host, joined by Mr. Al Beck.
I'm here.
And Mr. James.
Howdy ho.
Wowabunga.
Who gets absolutely no last name. He's just Mr. James.
I'm just James.
Like, oh, sometimes I almost kind of like it that way.
Yeah.
Oh,
just
James. I mean, James who? Like, James, none of your damn business, James.
I mean, you do remind me of Cher, so... In so many ways.
Oh, dude, how cool would it be, though, that you just to be known by just that first name?
Yeah.
Like Cher, MacGyver.
Madonna.
I mean, I guess MacGyver might be a last name. Yeah, Madonna. Bono. Edge. And he's not even a professional wrestler. The other Edge. The other Edge is with Bono.
Yeah, yeah. From YouTube. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. He's not even like a name. It's like a part of a shape. Just describing.
Yeah, he's not even a full shape.
Yeah, he's not even like circle. Yeah, he's just the edge of a shape.
I want to be known as hexagon.
That's not bad. You know, I kind of get it because it sounds kind of robotic and it's a little bit futuristic with the hexagon.
Yeah.
It sounds like that could be a transformer.
Transformer angle.
Yeah.
I am hexagon. I shape shift from a human into a six-sided object.
It's so useless.
I was thinking that sounded more like the
most useless transformer ever. Just, the history of any transformer, most useless one. All you are is a paperweight. You transform into a paperweight, essentially.
All he does is transform into something that confuses school children.
Look, man, papers in space on the spaceships, they do move around, so you need that paperweight.
Touche.
Yeah, but gravity's not going to hold you down. Maybe that's your like super ability. You're like the anti-gravity paperweight.
Oh.
Yeah.
But in the anti-gravity climate, you're always heavy.
Oh, dude, I love the idea of an anti-gravity paperweight, though. You put the paperweight on something and it just flies up into the air.
Oh, yeah, you would go the other way.
We'd go the other way.
This is wild. I feel like we have the concept for an actual really legitimate, either a video game or a cartoon show.
Most annoying superpower ever.
Everybody would think it was magnetic, and he has to explain it every time.
Yeah.
It's anti-gravity. Magnets have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I like it. We've got something here.
Well, thanks for downloading this spitball session, known as Nerd Radio. And make sure you're following us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. That's the show. See ya.
Yeah. Cool. I can go take my nap.
Best episode ever.
Yeah.
It'll be the most listened to, most time spent listening. We're going to kill it once we get these analytics back.
Yeah,
we're going to find out that our show should have been 15 minutes the whole time.
I was going to say, no, research shows us that the listener can only handle about a minute and a half of Nerd Radio.
Yeah.
Well, I do have, I was telling Al before we started, I got a list of notes of stuff to talk about this week, which is there's so much video games. There's some television stuff going on. I was real busy during the weekend. Where would you guys want to start?
Let's hear about your weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you guys are familiar with, especially James, with how the PlayStation 4, like the fan can run really hot.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I did some looking online a couple weeks ago and I saw that, you know, yeah, you can take a can of air and you can spray it inside your PlayStation to try and get rid of the stuff. But if you really want to clean it out, you got to open that puppy up. Anybody that owns a computer knows this. So on Saturday, I decided I was going to give it a shot. Saturday.
The operation day. The day of surgery.
So I got my screwdrivers out and I got a YouTube video and I figured out how to open the thing up and I was cleaning it out and everything. And I took the power supply out and I cleaned inside there, the heat sinks and the fan and everything. And then I put it all back together and I put it back on my shelf and I plugged it in and it refused to turn on.
Oh no.
Oh no.
And I was like, this is impossible. I did everything by the video. Nothing broke. Nothing should be broke. Everything is fine. So I took it apart again and I checked it out and I put it back together again and plugged it in and once again, nothing. And that's when Amy came in the room and she's like, did you break it? And I said, think so, but I don't know. And she asked, well, is it plugged in? And I was like, well, yeah, I plugged it into the thing and there's no reason it would have come out of the wall.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because it's like the plug should be in the wall. So I tried it one or two more times. And then I just happened to pull on the cord that was supposed to be plugged into the wall and it wasn't plugged into the wall. So she was right. It came
unplugged. How much of a relief was it when you realized that it just wasn't plugged into the wall? Like, because I'm sure you're probably like anxious. You're like, oh my God. Once you realize it wasn't turning on, you just destroyed your PlayStation. You played Frankenstein. You played Dr. Frankenstein and you killed your monster. You didn't get it to come back to life. And then all of a sudden, the simplest thing in the world was the solution.
I'd like to point out, though, sorry, Amy, but you walk into the room. Did you break it? Does it look like I need that right now? Like, come on. Like, yeah. I just lost one of my loved ones. How about a little compassion?
Well, that makes you wonder. I wonder if Amy was like, I don't know if that's such a great idea to do.
Yeah. Chuck.
Maybe you shouldn't take apart your PlayStation 4.
I think.
I'm starting to think she's the one who unplugged it.
Maybe you'll break it.
I think she unplugged it. Is it broke? Is it working?
She sabotaged me.
Yeah. Look at you. You're dumb with your screwdrivers and your little fan.
She saw me getting the screwdrivers out and asked me what I was doing. And there was kind of a hesitation in her voice. Like, are you sure that's a good idea?
Yeah. See? Well, and that actually comes. So in serious, like I was giving Amy a hard time now, but in seriousness, she's also a gamer. She's like, you're doing what with the what?
Right. She was more concerned about that's the thing we watch TV with. That's the thing we watch Disney Plus with and Netflix and Amazon Prime and HBO at Max. That's the thing we watch all our services with. If you break that, then we have to watch it on an iPad.
This is our sole entertainment provider.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she'll be watching it on an iPad. Aren't You'll be dead.
Yeah.
I don't know that she's going to kill me over killing the PlayStation 4. I mean, she didn't murder me over killing the TV when I was playing Red Dead Redemption.
Touche.
So that was the excitement on Saturday is breaking and then fixing my PlayStation 4. But it runs fine now. It's great. And you guys know that I do that horror movie podcast.
Yeah.
So I've got the Shudder service, which is AMC's horror movie service. They've got a movie on there, which you can rent on Amazon Prime, but it's free right now on Shudder. That's called Mayhem. And I wanted to tell you guys about it. I'm sure we'll do an episode about it for the other podcast. But I want to tell you guys about it specifically because, for one thing, Al, you have informed James before of what the Crossed comic book is all about.
Yeah.
That's the like the Walking Dead, except instead of zombies, everybody gets the disease and just turns into these absolute like monsters that just want to have sex and murder.
Depravity of mankind.
Right.
Okay.
So this Mayhem movie is, without having the Cross license, the closest you'll ever get to a Crossed movie.
Oh, my God.
It stars Steven Yeun, who is Glenn on The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And Samara Weaving, who's been in a couple of different movies. She was in the Ready or Not movie about the girl that marries into like the board game family and then they try and kill her.
That's a local guy, by the way. The guy played Glenn on Walking Dead. He was from Troy, Michigan.
Nice.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So Steven Yeun plays a lawyer at a really scummy law firm. There's this virus that makes people's eyes red, but then makes them act on their like darkest impulses, much like the Crossed virus.
Yeah.
And this law firm is responsible for getting the first person to ever murder somebody while they were on the effects of this virus off on a technicality. And somebody in the building, the office building where this law firm is, gets the virus and quickly passes it throughout the morning and the afternoon to everybody. And the CDC locks down the building until like they put an antivirus in the air conditioner, and within 8 hours, everybody will be fine. But within those 8 hours, everybody is just fighting each other and having sex on the desks and just doing the worst things possible. Mm-hmm. And they don't want the virus to get out. So they, you know, lock down the building. He gets fired before they get locked down. So he spends the entire movie with Samara Weaving fighting his way up to the top floor to murder his boss.
I like that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was kind of dark comedy. It was less horror than just like action movie.
Yeah.
But it was a blast.
Well, that subplot is kind of funny, where like he's in this horrible disease, you know, the outbreak, and he's like, yeah, but I got to kill that mother.
Come on.
Fired me. Like, that's his top priority.
Yeah, because see, he's on the basement. It's almost like Die Hard. With
sure,
and a zombie movie smashed together, but he's on the bottom floor of the building and he's talking to Samara Weaving's character and realizes, wait a second, anything I do in the next 8 hours, I cannot be prosecuted for. I'm gonna murder him before he can actually fire me, before I'm actually out of this building on my ass without a job. I'm gonna go upstairs and I'm gonna murder my boss. That's cool.
I like that.
I guess the irony in it all is that he's the only one of the only ones that doesn't have that virus, right?
Oh no, he's the like one of the first ones to show signs of it.
Oh, okay. I was thinking maybe he didn't have it, but he's still as murdering as much as everybody else is.
Yeah.
That doesn't have the virus.
That, I was thinking the same thing, James. That's what it sounded like.
But it's like I said, a damn fun movie. If you got a couple of bucks, definitely give it a rental on Amazon.
Yeah, I'm not not much of a like a horror movie guy, but I feel like I might check that out.
How long ago did this movie come out? It seems familiar. Like I feel like I've seen a trailer for it somewhere.
Probably. It came out in 2017.
What's it called again?
Okay.
Mayhem.
Mayhem. Okay.
It was an absolute blast. I also took some time, I forgot to say this a couple of weeks ago, but I took some time to see the new Scooby movie.
Yeah.
Because it was on the HBO streaming service. And it is delightful. It is very cute. It's hilarious to see Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt in the movie. And Blue Falcon is voiced by Mark Wahlberg. And Dino Mutt is Ken Jeong from the...
Perfect. Hangovers and Community.
But are these Scooby-Doo properties, these characters? The Blue Falcon...
That's the thing that's interesting is it's Hanna-Barbera properties.
Mm-hmm.
So like Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt are in the movie and the villains of the movie are Snidely Whiplash from Wacky Races.
Okay.
And he's
like a guy with a mustache.
Yeah.
The plot of the movie. These characters.
He had the dog in Wacky Races, Muttley, that made the laugh. I was like,
okay. So he'd be like all dressed all in black with like a mustache, like the typical old school villain looking kind of guy.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
But the plot of the movie.
Is this a cartoon?
It's a CGI cartoon.
Okay.
Let me see if I can pull up a Snidely Whiplash picture. So
I feel like we're playing 21 questions on the Scooby-Doo movie.
No, it's quite all right.
Sorry for being so inquisitive.
It was a fun movie, though. I mean, it's a little weird to not hear the same guy that was Shaggy, you know, forever.
Casey Kasem?
The guy that was in the live action movies. It's been Shaggy for the last, I don't know, like 20 years.
Oh, from the guy from Scream?
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was still in all those movies.
Yeah. Which, let me tell you, I just saw Scream for the first time a couple of weeks ago. How it was really weird to see the guy that I've known as Shaggy in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
I'm sure it was a little bit like what a lot of people dealt with when they watched The Walking Dead and saw the governor and then went back and saw him on episodes of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what?
Yep.
But I bring it up because the Scoob movie was really fun. But this week, two different sources that have worked on Scooby-Doo, one of them being James Gunn, officially said that Velma is a lesbian.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
The producer of the animated series, The Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated from 2010, said that he had always intended for Velma to be a lesbian, actually had given her a girlfriend during the show.
Let's be honest, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. And then James Gunn had said when he did the live action movies in 2002, he did the very first one. He said that it was in the original script, but the studio had kept watering it down.
Oh,
interesting. Probably too heavy of a topic to throw at a kid at the age that they're targeting, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
It's too serious of a topic that they don't want to get in the ring of.
The funny thing is, though,
I've seen it on Twitter too, where people have gotten these screenshots from one of the more recent Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And Velma and Daphne live together as roommates. And then Fred and Shaggy live together as roommates. And there's a particular scene where it absolutely looks like Daphne is wearing like Velma's sweater.
Oh.
So, which clam implies, slap in action.
Yeah, which
could be do scene.
It implies some things.
Uh-oh.
On the flip side, there was also a scene where Fred says something like he only lets his girlfriends call him Freddy, and then somewhere later on in the episode, Shaggy calls him Freddy.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, so interesting.
It's just one giant orgy in that mystery machine. The mystery's been solved.
Mystery machine kids.
Shaggy's eating more than just Scooby snacks in that van.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a short break. We've got some more stuff to get to. Both Star Trek and Star Wars have new animated series coming out. We'll talk about those coming up. And I'm very concerned with video games and the price of video games and some of the things concerned connected to video games. So I wanted to talk to you guys about that. We'll get into that next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hi, you got Larry B. Scott from Revenge of the Nerds, Party, 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 and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, as well as on Riff 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. My name is Chuck Bean, joined by Al Beck and James. We're also in Boston, isn't that right, Al?
Rock929rocks.com.
Absolutely. And I'd have to imagine somewhere in the next month or so, we'll be back on our YouTube and the Checkpoint XP Twitch channel, where James, you can hear him every week with the Checkpoint XP guys.
Yeah, you can find that over at twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP.
I bring up the Checkpoint XP guys because they've had a couple of really good stories on our website the last couple of weeks. First of all, today is the day that I get more games for my Super Nintendo and Nintendo app.
Cool.
I get more games today too. What a happy day.
Right. So yeah, this is your first new game day for these things, isn't it?
Yeah. How exciting. I'm so excited now.
There is really something cool to open in that app up, and then they like the little games fold over and reveal themselves.
Ooh, it's like a big surprise.
It's like opening up
and reveal what it already is.
Well, yeah. But it's like when you play the Magic the Gathering on the computer and they've got the little card packs, and you know, you click on the card pack and it makes the sound and of the rapper tearing.
You can virtually open up a new video game.
Right. But today we get Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo. And we also get, let me take a look here, Natsumi Championship Wrestling.
Oh, I am not familiar with that game whatsoever.
I'm not either. And it's really interesting how the games work, because I pulled up the Wikipedia article here. Let me share my screen. Sometimes we get different games than the Japanese crowd gets when it comes to this app. And this is actually one of those times, because we're getting two games on the Super Nintendo, those two games. And then we get on the Nintendo app, you're getting The Immortal, which I remember playing on the NES a couple of times. It looks beautiful for a NES game. But over in Japan, they're not getting the NES game, The Immortal, but they are getting a third game for the Super Nintendo. It's called Shin Megami Tensei, and it's actually the very first game in the series that would become the Persona series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's very, I hadn't looked at this spreadsheet on Wikipedia in a while, but it's very interesting to go through, and they've got like the date when these games were put on the app. And they also show you once again in this graph when the games come out and which games made it to America and which games made it to Japan. So like in December of 2018, they gave us here in America The Adventures of Lolo on the NES app, but for some reason didn't give it to the Japanese, but gave them the sequel and didn't give us the sequel.
Oh, that sucks.
It's
weird.
Half the time, the games that they get over on the Japanese version of the NES app are games that I've never heard of, or like the Fire Emblem series on the NES was never released over here. So it makes a lot of sense.
Well, maybe the Lolo 2, I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. Maybe Lolo 2 is technically like the Japanese version of The Adventures of Lolo. So they never put it out in America, you know, but that was released
possible.
In Japan or something.
Yeah, because like last May, they gave us the old NES game Clue Clue Land. And it's another one of those, like, there's one called Clue Clue Land, Welcome to New Clue Clue Land. And that we didn't get, but the Japanese got, but then we got the original. So it's always,
Clue Clue Land sounds like a very slip of a tongue can mean a very completely different thing.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a scary title to have for a video game, for a child's video game.
So yeah, we got some new NES games, which is cool because, you know, if you're paying the subscription fee, then they're, I mean, technically free, which is awesome. But another article that the Checkpoint guys had posted on our website was titled, Are Video Games About to Cost $70?
No!
And the reason I wanted to bring it up is, first of all, go over to WRIF.com and check it out, or check out our social media. I'm sure if we haven't posted it by now, we will be.
I think I did post that one.
But the question I wanted to pose to both of you guys is there a line in the sand where games are just too expensive for you?
For me, it's almost, we've already almost passed it. In a sense, because I don't run out and get games as often as I would like to. And that's coming from me, who I don't really game all that much. So it's a little bit easier for me to back off. But that one that Norman Reedus did, I keep forgetting what it's called. Every time it comes up, I'm like,
that's branding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm always like, you know what? I really want to check that game out. And then when I go to buy, I'm like, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I have mixed feelings.
Come on, Al, you know, it's worth the money. Norman Reedus had them go in and redo his abs. So you know he's got some rocking abs. That's worth your price tag alone.
Ah, see, there you go. See, James, just you want me to buy it so you can borrow it and watch the abs.
Well, exactly. I was like, Al, just take a couple pictures. Just make me a video on your cell phone. Yeah. Give me all the hunky scenes.
Yeah. But
tell me how you get the game ends, because I'll never play it.
Yeah. So I'm interested, but I don't want to drop the money on it. So, I mean, I've got mixed feelings on this. For one thing, video games are so much more in depth than they used to be. They're huge. So, I mean, I feel like for the most part, you are getting your money's worth, but you can't buy as many games anymore. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I don't know. I get it. But at the same time, it's like, you expect me to buy every friggin' game like that? Because I think we've also all bought a game and we dropped the $60 on it. And in this case, it'll be $70. And then you get it home and you play it for a little bit and go, wow, what a waste of money.
Right.
Yeah. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Trash.
Yeah. And the more and more digital that we get, you're relying on sales. Like, there will be games that have been out for a few years that come up at a cheap price and you can eventually play it. But the more we do digital, the more those resale places that, you know, Chuck, you usually pick games up at the resale places.
Right.
The more digital we get, the less there will be hard copies available at secondhand stores.
Yeah, and I think it was last week that James had mentioned that you'd bought like a $99 like collector's edition of it was either the Star Wars game or some other game, the one that I was talking about last week. But it's, you know, I'm sure there's a license or there's a particular game that even for someone like, you know, Al or myself, that okay, I'm gonna run out and I'm gonna pay the full price for this particular game, something like Red Dead Redemption 2. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I would, if they did Red Dead Redemption 3, I would pay full price for that. That, a Star Trek game or a MASH game.
Like, let's say they, bring out a MASH game that's a little bit like Red Dead or Grand Theft Auto or something like that. At what price point are you like, that's too expensive, I'm out? What if it was $100?
I would, for a MASH game, I would pay it, and I would grumble about it, but I would pay it.
Yeah.
Grumble about it. He's got to play his Hot Lips Houlihan. Come on, Chuck. Name your price. Take his money.
I will say that it's probably better to go with a Star Trek game in that example, because that's actually realistically going to happen. Whereas if a MASH game came out, if it was $200, I'm like, I have to play this. Like, why? Why is there a MASH game? But like, I didn't rush out and get Bridge Crew right away because I thought you had to have the PlayStation VR, which was out. I could have dropped the extra, whatever it would have been, $300 or whatever, to buy all the gear to get the game. It wasn't until later that I realized, oh, you can still play it without the VR, that I went ahead and bought it. And then I wanted to experience in VR, and that's, it kind of convinced me to get all the equipment. But I kind of drew a line in the sand with Star Trek, you know?
What about you, James?
For me, I feel like $50 was my ideal price.
Yes.
For games. Like, when you're 50, I was like, okay, cool. $50. Like, it's a considerable amount of money, but it's not too much.
It feels like reasonable.
Yeah, it's definitely a reasonable amount. So even now, paying, what, it's like 60? What is it, like, usually $59.99 for a game now?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm overpaying for them. So I'm kind of at my limit. If we actually hit $70, I'll be playing the free to download games with skins that you can pay extra for a long time, unless a game that looks really appealing to me, or it's a game that I'm just dying to play, or if it's like the newer games when they come out that are kind of like they're not super new or they're not super complex, like Streets of Rage. I think that was like $25, $30 or like the Untitled Goose Game. I think it was like $20.
Yeah,
you'd see me play more of those games. Maybe I'll support more indie game developers than you know, some of the big name ones.
If they come out with a John Cena VR workout regimen,
I would probably drop a considerable chunk of change on that, especially if it's like guaranteed results. I'd be like, guaranteed results.
Dancing with
guaranteed results, or John Cena will personally come visit you.
Dancing with Channing.
Yeah,
Dancing with Channing Tatum. Oh man, that'd be a, like he teaches me all the moves, the pony from Magic Mike or something. Dude. Like, I mean, we're talking like $500. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah. I think the part about this story that concerns me the most, like I said, I do have mixed feelings because you're getting more out of your games with that money than you used to. I understand the increase in price. And I think for a game I really want to play, I would still drop the $70. I would drop $70 on an RDR3. I would. The concern I have is every generation, it seems to go up by $10. Like PS2, they were $40 games. PS3, $50. Now they're $60 games. We're talking about the PS5, it's going to be $70. So it's like, it's, you know, like James was saying, you're going to see him playing more of the cheaper games. I've already hit that breaking point. It took Red Dead Redemption for me to buy that game. And, you know, because even games I like, I don't spend that much time playing them. I spent money on God of War, the new God of War game. I loved it. Didn't end up finishing it. That Star Wars game, the newer one, I can't remember what it's called.
Jedi something?
I don't goddamn know. But, you know, the one
with the dude from the show. Oh, my God. I keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the point is it's that the new third person walk around, whatever freaking game.
Right.
I was having fun with it and I didn't play it for more than like an hour. So it's like I don't see myself dropping much more money on games unless I really want it.
I could just picture Pandoff listening to this episode and wishing he was here again this week because he's like,
Jedi screaming. Fallen Order! Jedi Fallen Order!
There it is! There it is! Yeah.
Fallen Order! We hear you, Pandoff. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, hell, I was so looking forward to the Final Fantasy VII remake. Loved the original. Had a great time playing the remake, but I didn't play it all that much. It's just, you know, it's where I'm at with gaming, and I don't know.
Oh,
I've said the most on this topic, and I probably should say the least because I game the least.
Well, I think because
the biggest opinion on it.
I guess
we all come from a different avenue when it comes to this. I tend to buy games 2 to 3 years after they're a big deal. So if you charge $70 as soon as the game comes out, unless it's something like a Transformers game or a new Rock Band game, possibly, or something like that, which ironically, those games went up and up and up. You know, when I think it was like $100 to get a guitar and a game on the PlayStation 2. And then by the time they were giving you a drum set and microphones, it was like $200. Mm-hmm. And I paid it.
$200 or $250 for Rock Band. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been there, but I'm also a little bit, I'm kind of where Al is in that unless it's something I know 100%, I am going to enjoy every second of what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. $70 is kind of steep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And even for me personally, it's a roll of the dice still, even if I know 100%, like the Final Fantasy game, I knew 100% and it was delivering on my expectations and I still didn't play it that much.
Right. And the article, once again, that you can check out on WRIF.com does a great job advocating for the price increase. Cause I mean, while the price is only an increase of like about $10, like you were saying, Al, the price to develop these things has gone up astronomically. So, you know, I understand, but at the same time, I'm much less likely to try out a Last of Us, you know, at $70 than I would be at, you know, maybe 50 or like James was saying at 20.
My question, and this totally does come out of ignorance, which, you know, is not a shock with me, but where is the price increasing so much to develop a game? Because I mean, like so much of the, like that pristine looking CGI is getting cheaper to make. I mean, think about that Gambit movie you showed us, that fan made Gambit movie looked like a motion picture. You know what I mean? Like it looked amazing. So like, you know, I'm wondering where it all exactly why it's costing so much more create them. Not that I'm saying it should be cheap. I just don't know where exactly it is. I just don't understand.
It's mostly in the graphics, man.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe that's where they need more people, more graphics, with more pixels, more pixel slaves in there.
Makes sense. I wasn't
creating the game.
Yeah. Like I said, just totally ignorant on the topic. I have tried to sit through, just out of curiosity, the end credits of a game, and they go on forever. They go on for so long. They do.
Yeah. That's where all that money is going, is that it takes so many people to put a game together these days.
And then testers to test it out.
Well, speaking of things that are fairly expensive, another article that you can check out over on WRAF.com, a new Lego set. We talked last month about Nintendo finally getting together with Lego and making that Super Mario Brothers set with the little Mario guy that's got the screen and the speaker on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they revealed this week that Nintendo is making a Lego set of a Nintendo Entertainment System that you can take Legos and make a Nintendo Entertainment System, a controller that plugs into it, a little Super Mario Brothers cartridge you can put into the Nintendo, and then a tiny tube television that allows you to simulate playing Super Mario Brothers. Let me pull this up
on my screen
so you guys can see this video. It's kind of neat.
Hi, I'm Lego lead designer Jonathan Beck.
Hi.
2020 marks the 35th anniversary of the original Nintendo Entertainment
System. This guy is so Swedish.
We're feeling a little nostalgic, which is why we're excited to unveil the new Lego NES. This incredible brick build set includes the iconic NES control deck and a retro style TV that revolutionizes classic 8-bit graphics. Everything will instantly feel familiar to NES fans, from plugging in your controller to loading your favorite game cartridge. And when you're done building, jump into the action on a level of the original Super Mario Brothers. Speaking of Mario, this guy always has a trick up his sleeve, and Lego Mario from the Lego Super Mario Starter Course is no different. Just put him on top of the TV and start cranking to truly bring the Lego NES to life. Now you're playing with power and bricks. We hope you enjoy the new Lego Nintendo Entertainment System as much as the original NES.
I don't think that they will there, Jonathan, but I appreciate your sentiment. I don't think cranking your TV is going to be the same as playing the actual Nintendo.
It's a Lego NES set. It's about 2,000 pieces. I love that in the video, the guy still blows in the cartridge before he puts it in the little Lego NES.
Yeah, authentic.
And it comes with this little TV that's got a crank on the side that will move the Mario level and move the little Mario Lego around, so it looks like you're playing Super Mario Brothers on it. And as they showed there, if you take the little Mario and you put him on top of the TV, he'll play the level one music and make all the sound effects while Mario is on the TV going through the game.
That's cool. That's neat.
$230.
Not that neat.
Yeah, nah.
Nope.
Not even close.
Yeah.
For $230, you need to plant one of those little mini NESs in there as like a brick or something and plug that into an actual TV. So let me build a Lego Nintendo that actually plays Nintendo games.
Yeah.
Now you have my attention.
Yeah. When you can go online and get, you know, actual Super Mario Brothers for less than $230. You got to be a big Lego guy in order to pick this up.
Yeah. I think everybody knows Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we did the last Star Wars episode. He's a big Lego guy. I wonder if he would pay the $230 to build one of these.
If it's your thing enough, then it's worth it. You know?
Sure.
It's like when you've got, everyone on the three of us have many different interests in the realm, and Lego isn't like, if it was a cheap thing, maybe, but it's not a big enough interest for any of us, so it wouldn't be worth it. But there are definitely people who will drop the money on it.
Yeah,
there's absolutely so many Star Wars Lego sets that I would love to buy, but those things run into a couple $100, you know, for like the Millennium Falcon or, you know, the Death Star or whatever. It's like I don't have the money or enough interest to drop that on there, you know.
Or the time to put all those little things together and risk dropping one on the floor and stepping on it barefoot. Oh, man.
But I'd spend.
Yeah, that's always my fear with Legos, is that there's going to be a very small piece that I'm going to lose.
Right.
And then the whole thing's not going
to
work.
Yeah. But see, and you know what? It's not worth it to me to drop that money on Legos, but I would spend double that on a guitar that I really wanted if I, you know, really wanted it bad enough. This just depends on what you're into.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Super Mario and money, did you guys see the thing on our website about the unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers that went at auction?
Yeah.
Jesus.
How much did it go for again? I can't remember.
$114,000.
Kidding me? Just for the original Super Mario Brothers game?
Original inbox. Mint inbox.
Mint inbox Super Mario Brothers. What the hell did that get? I had said on the air a couple of days ago when I saw this this particular article, I remember going to Funko Land and picking up Super Mario Brothers for a buck.
Wow. Yeah. Well, here's my question. Who's the douchebag that bought Super Mario Brothers and never even bothered to open it and play it?
It's the guy that's $114,000 richer, douche.
He was like just me.
If I would have known about the Bat Wiener issue. I would have bought a whole bunch of those. Like five of them. You know, one for myself and four to sell on eBay when the value of the Bat Wang goes up.
I thought you were going to say buy one for yourself and the other four to pin up on the wall.
I'll sell three. I'll pin one up on the wall.
James just bought a new house. He's got a whole room wallpapered with the Bat Dong.
Yeah. I just need it for my spirit board.
It's the same page over and over and over like wallpaper.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Actually,
I strive to be more like the Bat Dong.
Dude, that's kind of a
dark and mysterious.
It's kind of a neat idea, Chuck, for like if you had like a nerd room and you wallpapered it in comics.
Okay. Now when I was a teenager, I remember taking a particular comic that you had to buy like four or five times because it had a card in it or something like that.
Yeah.
And cutting it up and turning it into wallpaper in like the basement
at
my parents' house.
Yeah.
So you could like just stand there and like walk from left to right and read the whole comic.
So it's not an original idea. That's just funny. Sad. Thanks for crushing me, Chuck.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's a thing that Chuck did. You did it back in 1941.
Right. Exactly. I'm here to tell you it didn't look great.
Yeah. Oh man, it's real sad. You did that with Superman number two.
Dong page, did you?
Well, that is true. There were no flaccid Bruce Wayne penises in that comic. So there are also no flaccid penises in Animal Crossing. There's my segue.
God, I hope not. I hope so. And, Jesus.
At least as far as we know so far.
As far as we know, and the company that has paid people to watch every episode of The Office and all the Star Wars movies is now paying somebody to play Animal Crossing for 2 weeks, $1,000.
Really?
Yep.
HighSpeedInternet.com
is looking to pay somebody throughout the month of August to play 50 hours of Animal Crossing New Horizons on their Switch. You can go to HighSpeedInternet.com and apply. And they're looking to essentially pay for about 2 weeks in August. So I let you guys know this because if I disappear for 2 weeks in August, I got the job.
I was going to say that you're
awesome.
You must have applied for this, Chuck, because it's right up your alley.
Are you kidding me? You're going to pay me $20 to play Animal Crossing? You could pay me $20 to play Shadow of the Colossus for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Let me in on
that. Deal with it. Yeah. The horse.
I deal with that stupid horse. So yeah, check it out, highspeedinternet.com if you want to apply. Actually, don't check it out, because the more people apply, the less likely I get the job. So forget I said anything.
I guess we're gonna have to omit this whole portion of the podcast.
Just making my editing a little bit harder.
Yeah. Just one long beep. Yeah.
And then it stops. Apply today at beep.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's take another short break, and I've got some Star Trek and some Star Wars news for you and some comic book news going on. That's coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hope you've cleared out your DVR. Time for Nerd Radio.
Spoilers.
Make it so.
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio on Riff 2, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m., as well as on the podcast page at WRIF.com. If you're in Boston, you can also find us.
Rock929rocks.com.
And we're on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. So both of these are right up your alley, Al. Last week, we found out that there is a new Star Wars animated show coming to, I believe, Disney Plus called Star Wars The Bad Batch.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bunch of clones from Star Wars Clone Wars that were introduced there that are getting their own TV show. And they're The Bad Batch because they're not exact clones. They all have their own personalities and specialties.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And that should be pretty cool. But speaking of animation, we've also got a new Star Trek animated series on the way.
I am looking forward to that. Yeah, I haven't looked at the trailer. I'm aware of it, but I'm kind of following my trailer rule with this. I mean, someone tweeted at me that about the new trailer. I was like, awesome. Glad the trailer's here. Don't want to look at it. But it's supposed to be a comedy, Lower Decks, right? And it's like the unseen guys, where it's not based on the captain and the first officer and the, you know, chief medical officer. It's like the low guys on the totem pole who you never really see doing their menial tasks, and it's based on them.
Yep, it follows a whole bunch of people that work on the Lower Decks that clean up the hollow deck.
And that's what I was gonna ask. If it's like the janitors or like the cooks, those people on the SS Enterprise, whatever it's called.
Hmm. They got into Starfleet because they wanted to see new planets and meet new races and stuff like that. But somebody's got to make sure that the replicators got stuff to replicate.
Right.
Make sure the holodeck isn't filled with spunk.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's coming out in August the 6th to CBS All Access.
Awesome.
So I'm curious, are you going to do the same thing you did with Picard? Are you going to be like there day one to see this?
Most likely, yeah.
Do they have the original animated series on there?
I don't know. I have it on Blu-ray. I've seen it. It's a tough watch. Yeah,
it is. And I feel
Is it Star Trek animated series?
Yeah. Yeah. The original series actually failed. Like, it did 3 seasons and it got canceled. It didn't get popular until syndication. So Gene Roddenberry, he tried to reboot it a couple of times. He had one series that never got made. I think he called it Phase 2 or something like that, which they did recycle some of those scripts or ideas for Next Generation. And then they tried to do in the 70s, they tried to do an animated series where they got, William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy. And there was the original cast voicing their own characters, but they tried repackaging it for kids and doing an animated series, and it is terrible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a missed opportunity, too, because years ago they had this show on Adult Swim called C-Lab, where they took the original C-Lab cartoon and then redubbed it like they did with Space Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, C-Lab 2020 or something? Wasn't it 2020? Yeah.
And I'm surprised they've never done that with that original Star Trek show.
Yeah.
I feel like it would be rife for, you know, just good Adult Swim style comedy.
You know, I had heard a story back to the original, the Star Trek animated series. If you anyone needed another example of what a good guy Leonard Nimoy was, I can't remember if it was Walter Koenig or George Takei. But one of those guys, or maybe even both of them, they weren't going to put them in the animated series. And Leonard Nimoy like drew a line in the sand. It was basically like, listen, those guys are part of the show. You either get them or you don't have Spock.
Oh, wow.
So he basically said, you're taking all of us or you're not getting me. And he was such a popular character, obviously, that they're like, we can't do this without Spock. So
yeah, he took a stand.
Yeah, he did.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, going on down at the comic book store over the next couple of weeks, Free Comic Book Day is usually this
May,
year, of
isn't
course,
it? Correct. First weekend in May, right?
Comic book stores couldn't be open the first weekend in May this particular year. So what they're doing with the 45 Free Comic Book Day titles that they had planned is starting this week, every week at your comic book store, 5 of those titles will be available for Free Comic Book Summer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Nice.
This week has the X-Men Free Comic Book Day book that Marvel was going to put out. So I got that. They've also got the My Little Pony book that was for Free Comic Book Day, Power Rangers, and a couple of other books that I'm not real familiar with. But every week they're going to be kicking out 5 or 6 of these books out of the 45 that they had planned. So you can hit your comic book store every week to get your Free Comic Book Day fix along with your weekly comic book day fix, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw an article saying that comic book sales last year hit an all-time high.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, wow. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Yeah, comic book industry saw record growth in 2019, averaging $1 billion in combined graphic novels and single-issue sales.
Is that...
Dude, it's all those movies.
I was going
to
say,
all
which...
All those movies, I think, are getting people encouraged to go get the comics and read about it. And I bet you those movies are just bringing comic books to new people.
I was just going to say, was Endgame last year?
No, I think the Spider-Man movie was last year.
Okay.
Yeah,
Spider-Man. Yeah, it was Endgame, Spider-Man.
A couple of years.
Endgame in the spring and then Spider-Man in the summer.
Yeah, so Endgame was last year then. So Infinity right. War was huge, and then he had a year before Endgame came out. That makes sense.
They say in the article, the biggest driving force was graphic novels, which tend to be sold in bookstores and comic shops. Graphic novel sales accounted for $765 million, while single issues totaled close to $355 million. So obviously almost half of mm-hmm. What people were buying graphic novels. Digital comics accounted for $90 million. While sales made in bookstores totaled more than $570 million. And they said that $525 million of sales came from local comic shops. So that's kind of encouraging that almost half of the sales came from your local comic book shops.
Yeah. Well, you hope, too, that maybe some of the people that, watched Infinity War and Endgame and decided they wanted to go pick up a Guardians of the Galaxy trade or something, and they didn't know where to go, so they got it at Barnes & Noble and decided they really liked it. Maybe they there were like, all right, then they sought out a comic book store.
Yeah. And obviously everybody's been hit really hard in 2020 with COVID-19 mm-hmm. and comic book stores are definitely in the same boat as like used record stores in that, like, you know, they were not doing great to begin with. And then this happened.
Right.
So, you know, I always like to encourage people to keep my comic book stores around. I like going to the comic store.
Yeah. And if people are looking for a comic book store, you like to plug that website, Chuck. Why don't you let them know what it is?
Yeah, comic shop locator. You can go there, comicshoplocator.com, and it'll let you know some of the closest stores in your neighborhood. Yeah.
So if that's you, maybe, you know, you found this podcast and you're somebody who's kind of getting back into it and checked out a Barnes & Noble and you want to get support a local comic shop, there's a good way to find one.
And that was kind of why I wanted to talk about the video games in the last segment, too, because, you know, for me and you, Al, we've complained before about how comics are can get so expensive these days. Mm-hmm. The normal is about $3.99, but sometimes you get that issue, like Green Lantern issue you got a couple weeks ago, is like $10.
Yeah.
So we're very familiar with the, at what point do I buy less of this, or at what point am I just out?
Yeah. Deadpool likes to drop a $10 book on me every so often. Actually, I feel like I haven't had that happen in a little while. Maybe it was when Jerry Dugan was writing it or something that they kept dropping that. There also hasn't been a Deadpool movie in a few years now, and that might be why. Maybe the demand is down.
Well, Marvel's got a new event going on that just started last week, and those are like $4.99 a piece or $5.99 a piece. Oh, it's like, no, I don't need to read it that bad.
No.
The X-Men aren't involved, so I don't care.
Right.
All right. Well, before we leave, I got one more story for you guys because I saw this and I was like, what the F? So we're familiar with the fact that Red Dead Redemption 2 came with a Red Dead Online, which is a lot like what they're doing with Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
And according to this article over on comicbook.com, players have been waiting for any significant update to the game and haven't gotten anything but minor updates. So in order to protest, because we've seen plenty of protests this year, players have started dressing up as clowns.
What?
While they're playing Red Dead Online, because you can change what your character looks like, you know, different cowboys, different hats, different whatever. Now there's different servers where the entire server is just people wearing the clown skin to protest the fact
that they've
abandoned them.
And over at Rockstar, they're like, you're still playing it, right? Okay.
Thank you.
So what do these guys look like? Like Buckaroo Bozo? Like you look like Bozo the Clown with a cowboy hat and some Atlas chaps?
Ready to ride your
steed?
They look like circus performers. They got the big old shoes and they've got the goofy outfit, but then they're, you know, riding around in their horses and, you know, killing each other and riding.
This is a protest? Walking. This makes the game sound 1,000 times cooler in my book.
Well, it does as
you
long as you
know how much of a kick I had to get out of it? Well, yeah, I'm not scared of clowns, but do you know how much of a kick I'd get if I saw like some clown, like literally, what's up with this clown over here riding by on his horse? And is legitimately a clown? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
The worst protest ever.
As protests go, this is pretty lame.
Yeah, there you go. There's a bunch of clowns wearing the wig.
Yeah, that's awesome. What are they on this boat?
boats full of clowns. Looks like Normandy Beach, but everyone's clowns.
But they're still playing it.
Is the coolest protest.
It is. It's also the most useless protest.
It really is, because you're right. They're still playing the game.
Right.
I don't know. As long as they're having fun, right? They're figuring out how to have fun with a game that Rockstar is not updating.
No, so. They're not. They're
how long you got to play before you unlock the clown skin, guys? How much does a clown skin cost?
That's a great question, because I have no idea.
I never got that far.
Man.
Come on, Al, you don't have the
clown skin unlocked yet?
No, I don't do the online thing. I did start a playthrough again recently. I haven't gotten very far, but I was like, I kind of want to play that again. So that might be my next, you know, going through Red Dead Redemption 2 again.
I still have my copy, and I've definitely thought in the last month or two that maybe it's time. Maybe I can play it without breaking another TV.
I had a good time with it, man. I really did.
I'm thinking about getting it so I can be a clown in the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
Right. I'll tell you what, you can borrow my copy.
Okay.
My clown suit. That'll take the decision out of my hands. Then I'll have to play Mass Effect.
Oh, that's right. You did a Twitter poll.
Yeah, and they said they wanted me to play Mass Effect, and then I discovered Star Wars Battlefront 2, and now that's all I play when I come home at night.
Oh, you're going back on your promise. You've betrayed the Twitter, all 37 of them or whatever it was.
All 37 of them are very angry at me right now.
I'll bet you anything, 35 of them haven't even noticed that you have forgot that they voted.
Well, I appreciate all 37 of them, and I appreciate everyone who downloads and listens to this podcast. Be sure to rate and review us wherever you're getting your podcast. And thank you to the couple of listeners that let me know that I had uploaded it incorrectly last Friday. So instead of it going up at 3 a.m., a lot of people didn't get to it until 6 o'clock at night because I'm a dumbass.
Uh-oh.
It happens.
Yep. But that's all I got for this week, guys. So make sure you guys find us at Nerd Radio 101 on social media. And I'll let Al and James say their piece if they've got anything to say before we cut this one.
I have no piece.
Sayonara, suckers.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Weekend.
See you later, nerds.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
While you do that, I'm going to run and pee real quick.
Okay.
Be funny if he just starts peeing and is just running while he's peeing, like right there.
We just see him doing laps.
Yeah, we're like, Al, I thought you'd go to the bathroom, Al. What are you doing, man?
That's how he's brought up. That's how he's raised.
Yeah. It's like, what? This is how you run and pee? It's just my afternoon run and pee.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.